We're in Hosea. We're going to finish this today, praise God. It's been a good time. We started off with Hosea with a marriage. Go marry a harlot. If you remember, as we went through that, some explanation was given in regards to that. Nothing can be proven for sure, you know, but it's just some thoughts of how God works and how God uses a man. You know, when a man comes to town, when a godly man comes to town, people need to pay attention. We have some godly men that will be here in a few weeks. You know, I want to come here and hear what the godly man has to say. I want to be among the fellowship and hear what God's been speaking to them. And they should have paid attention to Hosea. This marriage was an example, and it was a comparison. It was a likeness. Hosea was a man that was deeply in love, like God is deeply in love with you and with me. Hosea was deeply in love with Gomer. He had the capacity within himself to forgive her, though she was faithless to him, had children to him. You know, it was a messed up family, like our lives. Our lives get messed up, and our Heavenly Father comes into our lives, and he fixes things, you know. But there's a reciprocation that's necessary there in the fixing of things. Gomer didn't reciprocate. Israel didn't reciprocate. We need to love the Lord our God with all our soul and strength, and not turn back, not seek other pleasures like Israel was doing, and what Judah is doing, like America should be doing. Turn back to the Lord your God who founded you. You know, this is not an unusual thing to come forth from a pulpit prior to revivals that happened in the land. And formerly, not just this land, but formerly, revivals that have happened have always been preceded by men of God preaching from the pulpit, turn from your ways. So back in colonial days, if you read some of the messages, which there are books out there that have these messages, you'll hear men of God proclaiming the tyranny and the bondage of England over the colonies and how they needed to turn to God for deliverance, which preceded the revolution, what we have. In this country, don't be surprised if pulpits begin to rise up and begin to proclaim, you know, that abortion is wrong, that the sin of the land. And for me, as we go through here, I think you're going to see that. I think you're going to see the abortion issue touched in here, you know, as we go through here. But that's just one of many topics that he's talking about. So where we left off was, for instance, in chapter 10, verse 12, it says, "Sow with a view to righteousness. Reap in accordance with kindness. Break up the fallow ground, for it is a time to seek the Lord until he rains righteousness on you." It is time to seek the Lord. Now, in this day, this Old Testament word applies to me today as it applied to them yesterday. This is still relevant. These words are still relevant for us. "You've plowed wickedness and reaped injustice." These are things that are happening in our courts today and on our land today. There's injustice in the land. This is what they're sowing. This is what they're plowing. But he says, sow with a view of righteousness. You know, so our prayers, our intercessions going forth, our pleading with God, this isn't something you as a person can change. God can change it. See, but we have to do our part. We have to turn to God. We have to do our part. Lord, help us. This army is too big for us. You know, this is what happened back in the days when the kings were realized, there's a million men out there in front of us. What are we going to do? Well, interestingly enough, like in Gideon's case, God says he takes some men out and then he watch them when they drink. You might remember this in Judges. Tell them to go home. If they're afraid, tell them to go home. He gets it down to 300 men. Revival by reduction. I've heard a preacher preach that one time. There's always a remnant, and you can make a difference. I can make a difference. You know, if I join together with you and we begin to pray, Lord, we'll see this in here. So let's go to chapter 11. When Israel was a youth, I loved him. A little bit of history here, but, you know, go into the words, to the literature, go into how he's saying and what he's saying here. When Israel was a youth, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. Well, if you're paying attention in the book of Matthew, you'll find that obscure scripture just pulled right out of there, speaking about Jesus. Out of Egypt, I've called my son. Matthew, interesting enough, Matthew saw it, so I believe it. You know, but sometimes things are very, very plain. You know, very plain about who he saw. Unto us a child will be born, unto us a son will be given. Very plain. It's not hidden much. But right here, interesting enough, out of Egypt I called my son. Matthew calls it forth out of scripture in faith. The more I called them, don't miss this here, the more other versions of the Bible make this a little more clear, but I can explain it here. The more they called them, the more the prophets called them, the more Israel went from them. They kept sacrificing to the Baals and burning incense to idols, but the prophets were sent. And calling them again and again, you know, and will continue from this historical period. Pastor Bill's taken us through Isaiah. This is about the same time period. We see in the very first chapter that there's several kings that Hosea is speaking under. So his ministry went some 30 to 40 years, you know, as Isaiah was in the same light. Yet it is I, verse 3, who taught Ephraim to walk. I taught them. And God taught you. He taught you how to walk and how to live. I took them in my arms. God took you in his arms. He rescued you. But they didn't know that I healed them. He's the God who healeth thee. What about the lepers, the 10 lepers? Which one kept his healing? Now, it doesn't say that the other 9 lost their healing, okay? Don't misunderstand me or twist that. But God is acknowledging the one that came back and gave him praise. That's what he's doing. They didn't know that I healed them. I led them with cords of a man, with bonds of love. I became to them as one who lifts the yoke from their jaw. And I bent down to feed them. This is what God did for us. Pastor Bill sometimes talks about, when he had horses. And his story sometimes, you know, I read scripture and it brings back. You harness the horse, you put in the mouth to make them go their way. And this is how they were in Egypt. They were like harnessed, you know, like a horse. And whatever Egypt told them to do, they had to do that. He would pull them and guide them and make them do what they wanted to do. That's called bondage. That thing in their mouth is like a bondage to them. It gives them control. It gives you control over them, you see. But God lifted that. What about the bondage of sin? He lifted that from us. I became the one as to lift the yoke from their jaws. I bent down and fed them. They will not return back to Egypt, but Assyria. He's making it very plain and very clear where they're going. Some of them ran away. Some of them went to Egypt. But for the bulk of them, they were captured. We read earlier in the chapter 10, the calf that was there in Samaria, that was taken. It was taken to King Jared. It was given to him as a tribute. You know, the God of Israel, you know, what? That's a calf. It was made by man's hands. It's not a god at all. Because they refuse to return to me, the sword will whirl against their cities and demolish their gate bars and consume them because their counsel. This is why it's going to happen. Because of the way they think. Because of the way they counsel. They were not counseling in the Spirit of God. They were counseling in their own ways. If you want a wreck and a destruction and a shipwreck in your life, go your own way. Well, I'm not suggesting you should do that. I'm simply saying that that's what had been happening to us until we come to the Lord. We were walking in our own way. That's a way of destruction, you see. Walking in their own counsel. So my people are bent on turning from me. They were set. You'll see this really clear in Jeremiah in the days of Judah. They were set. They even said, Jeremiah, you go seek the Lord for us. And whatever he tells us, you tell us and we'll do it. And so he does. And he tells them. And you know what they said? We're not going to do that. They're bent on going their own way. Because it wasn't their count. It wasn't what they wanted to do. It wasn't what they were thinking. Though they call to them the one on high, none at all exalt him. How can I give you up, O Ephraim? Listen to the heart of God here. How can I surrender you, O Israel? How can I make you like Admah? How can I treat you like Zeboim? My heart is turned over within me. All my compassions are kindled. Everything that they were doing, God still had a heart of compassion. You know, you wonder how we go long, long, long. God is long in compassion and mercies. He is. Sooner or later, he lets you to your own devices. We don't want to go that far. We don't want to push that boundary. Let's love the Lord with our whole heart. Let's serve the Lord with our whole heart. Let's be obedient to what the Lord's telling us to do. Let's move forward in this. My compassions, I will not, this is the heart of God, you know, judgment, anger, wrath, judgment. No, look at this next verse. I will not execute my fierce anger. I will not destroy Ephraim again, for I'm God and not a man. I'm God and not a man. How many times have you heard it said, well, if that was me, what? If that was me, you know, you might even have said it yourself. You're lucky your mother took care of that. If it was me, yeah, that's right. The Holy One is in your midst. We were just singing that. God is holy, 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 holy. God is a God of compassion. And I will not come in wrath. They will walk after the Lord. He's speaking. He's sowing with a view of righteousness as he speaks and preaches this. They'll walk after the Lord. He will roar like a lion. Indeed, he will roar. His sons will come trembling from the west. They will come trembling like birds from Egypt, like doves from the land of Assyria. I will settle them in their houses, declares the Lord. He still has a good view of redeeming, as Gomer was redeemed and rescued. He still has a view that he wants to do this. This will be in time, okay? Ephraim surrounds me with lies and the house of Israel with deceit. Judah is also unruly against God. So we're talking about, remember, he's speaking to the northern kingdom. He's still bringing up Judah from time to time. It'll pop out in scripture. One thing different about Hosea that you not see in Isaiah, Isaiah speaks to all the nations. He's prophesying to all of them. Why is he not prophesying to all of them? He wasn't called to. It's pretty much that simple. You know, we have to walk in a revelation that we have. As God speaks to us, as he instructs us, as he teaches us, that's what you speak. So he wasn't saying anything to him about other nations. For chapter 12, Ephraim feeds on wind and pursues the east wind continually. He multiplies lies and violence. Moreover, he makes a covenant with Assyria, and oil was carried to Egypt. The Lord also has a dispute with Judah and will punish Jacob according to his ways. This is how they're punished, according to your ways. Keep doing wrong, wrong's going to come. He will repay him according to his deeds. In the womb, here's some history. You know, follow along here. Just go with the coaster. It's interesting how the lyric is just laid out here. In the womb, he took his brother by the heel. Who's he talking about? Jacob. Remember the story. We go back to Genesis. This history was very, very familiar to these people. When he began to talk about that, even that scripture I brought up earlier about Aduma, when you look back in Genesis, you'll find that at the time of Abraham, when Lot was taken, there was five kings against four kings, you see. And two of these kings are the ones mentioned here. Well, that makes sense to them. It didn't make much sense to us when we read through it. I just didn't feel a need to go back and explain all that, you know. But those kings were the ones that were destroyed. And they understood that when he mentioned their names. It says he took him by the heel, his brother by the heel. In his maturity, he contended with God. When you follow Jacob's life, and there's quite a few chapters about Jacob's life in the book of Genesis, you'll see he contended with God. Yes, he wrestled with the angel and prevailed. That's a message in itself of how he met the angel. He wept and sought his favor. I'll not let you go until you bless me. Remember that. Pastor Bill taught about that several times. He found him in Bethel. Oh, this is the place where God is. You remember that part of that story. They were familiar with this. And there he spoke to us, even the Lord, the God of hosts. The Lord is his name. Therefore, because you know all this, because this is familiar to you, return to your God. Observe kindness and justice and wait for your God continually. Continually wait on him. You know, that's what we need to do. This is what he was urging them to do. Brother Shane was preaching in Deuteronomy a couple of weeks ago. It inspired me to go back and to look at those blessings. You know, thank you for that, Brother Shane. So, you know, in chapter 10 and 11, I was meditating on that all week. It was because of this. Reading this made me go back there and look at that again. You know, and the blessing is amazing. Observing kindness and justice. He says that phrase again, back in Deuteronomy. I'll tell you what's required of you, oh man. Observe justice, kindness. That's what's required of you. That's what you'll find in that scripture early on. We also saw that in Micah. We see it here, Micah, same time period. A merchant in whose hands are false balances. He changed gears a little bit, but he's still talking about the same thing. Getting the people to repent, to see their ways. He loves to oppress the merchant with false balances. He loves to oppress. And Ephraim said, surely I've become rich. I've found wealth for myself. In all my labors, they will find in me no iniquity. You're walking in darkness and you don't even see it. We get that way sometimes. We're walking down a path we should not be on, but we can't even see it. Sometimes others see it, and those people that love you, they come alongside you and say, now, brother, that's not the right path. Thank God that people who love you come and correct you, come and tell you things about your life. You know, that's what covenant relationship is all about. You can help one another. That's what the Word of God comes alongside to help you. It's for your good. He says here, but I have been the Lord your God since the land of Egypt. He's reminding them again. You'll see this over and over in Deuteronomy. Brother Bill was in that last week. Reminding them, you forgot. You forgot. You forgot. Let me remind you this again and again. I will make you live in tents again in the days of the appointed festivals. What about all the festivals that God had given and all the celebrations and all the times of remembrances, the memorial times that he had set up for Israel? They forgot them all. Judah was observing some. Sometime in this time period, we see Hezekiah starts it all back up again by the preaching of the prophets. They go back and they look at the scriptures and they realize what they should have been doing. And they clean up the temple. They put the doors back up where they were. They start instituting, you know, the festivals again and sacrificing to the Lord their God. They start living right. They start having a revival. It was short-lived. But nevertheless, it was preceded by these preaching and teaching of the prophets. And the priests began to teach the word again. This is what we need in America, men of God standing in the pulpits teaching the word. You know, not having a social gathering or a business. The church is not a business. It's a family. It's relationships. It's a vessel. It's the pillar and ground of the truth, the Apostle Paul says. Is there iniquity in Gilead? Verse 10, I'm sorry. I have also spoken to the prophets. I gave them numerous visions. Remember, sometimes a prophet will say, and I saw this, and I saw the Lord high and lifted up, you know. And the Lord showed me, Amos talks about this. The Lord showed me this. It's a vision. And then you'll say, the prophet will say, and I heard something. The Lord told him something. These are uniquenesses about the prophets. They see things. Numerous visions. And through the prophets, I gave parables. Seeing things, hearing things, revealing things. This will happen in your life as well. You'll see things. You'll dream things. That's the Spirit of God stirring you. Pay attention to those things that are happening on the inside of you. Is there iniquity in Gilead? Surely they're worthless. Surely they're worthless. Wow, that's bad. Is America worthless? Are we going to do something here? Have we come to that point? I say no. I say it's time to stand up. It's time to pray. It's time to believe God for revival. It's time for the remnant to awaken. In Gilead, they sacrifice bulls. Yes, their altars are like the stone heaps beside the furrow of a field. I remember when I was young, 11, 12, 13, something. I worked for a farmer. And I would stand on the back of the equipment, right? And we'd be going through the field. And my job was, if we kick up a stone, boom, it would pop. You know, if you kick up a stone, grab the stone. I was just a little kid. And go to the edge of where the field was. You know, that's just the field and the weeds. And this is where the corn's going to grow. This is where the wheat's going to go. And so this was their altars. The value of their altars was like those stone piles I was building along the edge of the field. Useless. Those stone piles were useless, but it does damage to the equipment, you know. So that's why I was riding along. I was riding along to pick those stones up and just carry those stones out of the field so he didn't hit them again. That's what came to my mind when I read that. It's of no value at all. Your altars are of no value at all. Now, we know great men of old built altars. Moses, built Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, built altars to the Lord and sacrificed on them. They were not worthless heaps. Remember, they picked stones out of Jordan when they crossed Jordan, when the people of Israel were crossing over. They picked up stones, and that heap was a memorial. We came through on dry land. It was a memorial. We have to remember those times. Those are not a worthless heap. But the prophets, verse 13, but by the prophets the Lord brought Israel from, by a prophet the Lord brought Israel from Egypt. And by a prophet he was kept. Well, who's he talking about here? Moses. You got to make an application here, you see, because they knew the history. We had to study the history because that's not our culture, you know. So we have to study the history. So he's making, it's not a mystery. You just have to know the history here. Ephraim has provoked to bitter anger. So the Lord will leave his blood guilt on him and bring back his reproach upon him. Chapter 13. When Ephraim spoke, there was trembling. Now, Ephraim was a very famous tribe. It was a very, very large tribe. It was a powerful tribe. It had influence. Ephraim had influence. That is what's regarding this verse. When Ephraim spoke, there was trembling. He exalted himself in Israel. He was supposed to. It was prophesied over him. But through Baal, he did wrong and died. One thing. He was great in Israel, and one thing brought him down. How many times have you looked back on big ministries, and one thing brought him down? What about my life? Am I going to let that happen? And what about your life? Are you going to let that happen? Don't let one thing wreck everything for you. You have a future, but you have to cling to God. I'm not going to let one thing ruin everything for me. Just going to keep choosing right. Practice right. Think about right. And you won't do wrong. So that's what we're focusing on. Doing right. One thing. And he died. Now their sin. Now they sin more and more. Because it opens the door, you see. That one thing will just open the door. Wide is the gate that leads to destruction. You know, I'm not preaching fire and brimstone here. I'm just saying wide is the gate. But narrow is the way that leads to life. He makes for himself molten image, idols, skillfully made with their silver. All of them are work of craftsmen. They say to them, let the men who sacrifice kiss the calf. You know, people who love their sin, they want you to jump in the water with them. You have to lift up a standard. I'm not going to move my boundary marker out to you. I'm keeping my boundary marker right where it is. You know, thank you very much. It's not like I don't ever do anything wrong. That's not the point. Because, you know, we fall sometimes into various things, you know, but the Lord lifts us up. He forgives us when we go to him. He's faithful and just to forgive your sins. You know, that's not the issue that I'm saying here. People who love their sin want to drag you all in with them. They want you all in. Therefore, they will be like the morning cloud and the dew, which soon disappears, like chaff, which is blown away from the threshing floor, and like smoke from a chimney. Yet I have been the Lord your God since the land of Egypt, and you were not to know any God except me. Deuteronomy 10. You know, this is where it's at. For there is no Savior beside me. You know, these kinds of things should encourage you and build you up. I cared for you in the wilderness, in the land of drought. I cared for you. Did you forget? Do I forget that? Every day you have to be thankful, thankful, thankful. You care for me. You lift me up, Lord. Ooh, man, it doesn't look that good out there. It looks cloudy. It looks dark. You lift me up, Lord. You have to keep talking to yourself. I was telling some people last Monday night, that must have been like my worst night of my career. Every second of that night for the first 4 hours was fighting against me to be productive. Everything was going wrong, and I'm not trying to cry to you here. I'm just saying, I kept on speaking to myself. I'm an overcomer, you know, and you've probably had to do this too. Everything wants to press you down in life, but you can be an overcomer. The Word of God will revive you. My next 4 hours was pretty good. But I was so set back from the first 4 hours, I didn't get caught up, but they were pretty good. You know, I had to take whatever hoops I could get. That's another Pastor Bill story. Okay, you lost the first round here. Let's try to score X. You know, you got to try to make up. You remember, Bill? You try to make up for something, you know, just to build yourself up. Brother came in, Christian guy, you know. I told him, he just smiled and shook his head at me, you know, because he was just getting ready to start his day. And I said, I'll pray a blessing on you, brother, that your day won't go as good as, I mean, won't go as bad as what mine did last night. You know, but we overcome. The end of the week came. We overcome. And that's the way it is. You have good days. You have bad days. But in God, every day is a good day. This is a day that the Lord has made. That's it, absolutely. It says, I care for you in the wilderness, in the land of drought. As they had their pasture, let's pay attention here. As they had their pasture, they became satisfied. Pastor Bill preached a message, and I don't mean to keep bringing him up all the time. I'm just simply saying, I remember things that were taught to me. If these people would have remembered things that were taught to them, they wouldn't be in the situation they're in. So that's the only reason why I'm bringing that up. You know, many years ago, he taught a message about, and this was like in the early days of when we were doing missions work, back in the early 90s. Come back from Nigeria, and it's like those people are like, it's so hard over there. It's hard to live, hard to get food. It's hard to do. I mean, you can get it. You can do it, but you have to fight. Every day is a fight and a battle to get it done. And there's miracles. There's healings. There's all kinds of things over there, you know. And then you come back home to this. And then the revelation that Pastor Bill was getting in the message he was teaching, not reteaching any of this, what God in the blessing, they became satisfied. We here in America become satisfied with things. And then what? Don't pursue him anymore? And then we wonder why we struggle in our lives? No, I say be satisfied in the Lord. He will satisfy you forevermore. I'm satisfied in the Lord. I'm going to keep pursuing him because that is where I'm satisfied, in him. You know? Not in the miracle. Thank you for the miracle that you did for me. Thank you for the gift that you've given to me. Thank you. I'm thankful. Thankful for everything he's given to me. But I'm going to keep pursuing him because that's where I'm satisfied, not in what he did for me. It's him. It's all about him. It's loving him. It's pursuing him. So I will be like a lion to them and a leopard. This is gory here. Okay, hang tight. You know, because this is what happens. These creatures that he's bringing out, these similitudes he's bringing out here, like a leopard, I'll lie in wait by the wayside. You know, they pounce. You know, it's for real. Leopard jumps out, it's for real. You're done. You know, unless you're Samson, you're done. Okay. I will encounter them like a bear robbed of her cub. Bears are big and powerful, and this is the picture he's given to us. I'll tear open their chest. They will also devour them like a lioness, as a wild beast could tear them. Look here. Don't miss this. It is your destruction, O Israel, that you're against me. Don't ever be against God. You'll never win. Never. Against your help, God is here to help you. He's helping me. He's helping me day by day. He helped me last Monday night. As much of a struggle as I thought that was, he was helping me. He was building me up. I'm not going to be oppressed and depressed and step down. He is your help. Now, where now is your king that he may save you? This is what they wanted. They wanted a king to save them and deliver them. This is what they wanted in the early days. Remember Samuel, the second, third chapter, fourth chapter. They wanted a king. Give us a king. Where's your king now? You thought the king was your help. You think maybe President Trump is your help? Thank God for him. Oh, yeah. Thank God for him. But I need God right now. Thank you. You know, that's what I need. But I have a lot more confidence in this situation than if someone else would be there right now. Where's your king? Where's your judges in whom you requested? Give me a king and princes. I gave you a king in my anger. Who was that? Thank you. You're paying attention. I like that. I took him away in my wrath. Who did he take away in his wrath? Saul. He did. Go read the story. You can read the story about it. The iniquity of Ephraim is bound up. His sin is stored up. The pains, pay attention here, the pains of childbirth come upon him. James explores this thought in the first chapter of James. The pains of childbirth come upon him. He's not a wise son. He's not a wise son. For it is not the time that he should delay at the opening of the womb. Now, my understanding of this is that he's bound up with his sin, like James explains, and he's about ready to give birth to it. And it's not a time to delay. Repent quickly. It's not a time to delay, America. Repent now. Don't wait another day and another week. Oh, well, I'll do that tomorrow. This is a scripture of procrastination, you see. Don't delay, because it is coming. The baby is coming. Those of you who's, you know, mothers, fathers, all of us, you know, the baby is coming. You know, you remember. It's not a time to delay. Let's get to the hospital. Shall I ransom them? Oh, pay attention here. You won't see this anywhere else. Shall I ransom them from the power of Sheol? Is God asking a question? Shall I redeem them from death? Oh, death, where's your thorns? Oh, Sheol, where's your sting? Where did Paul get that from? The redemption of the blood of Jesus Christ. That is what took it away, because sin is death. The death, the grave is, you're done. If you don't make your choices now in the grave, you can't make your choices. They can light all the candles they want. It's not going to help them. Now, I'm not throwing a stone. You have to get the truth out of here. The grave, it's done. Now's the day. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time. That's where the New Testament is drawing its inspiration from. Though he flourishes among the reeds, the east wind will come. He's talking about Israel. I'm sorry, he's talking about, yes, Ephraim, Israel right now. The wind of the Lord coming up from the wilderness, and his foundation will become dry, and his spring will dry up. It will plunder his treasury and every precious article. All the stuff you trusted, all the stuff you think is beautiful, it's all going to go away. It's all going to go away. Samaria will be held guilty, for she has rebelled against her God. They will fall by the sword, and their little ones will be dashed into pieces, and their pregnant women will be ripped open. Now, for me, I don't know what you're seeing in here, but there's a whole lot of that being done in this country. Now, there it was a literal time when the Assyrians, in their brutality, came down and came across and conquered these various tribes. And this was the shock and horror of war, when your wife, when your children were pregnant, their daughters were pregnant with children. That was the shock and awe of war, for them to come down and cut them, rip the babies out and smash them. This is documented history. I'm not trying to blow this up out of proportion. This is documented history. This creates fear and intimidation. These people, this is what they did. But we're doing it here. We're opening up the womb and we're ripping the children right out. Now, if you don't see that, that's fine. I'm not trying to create a doctrine. I'm trying to say that there's a pattern to walking away from God. There's patterns to that. And when you see that their pregnant woman will be ripped open, and if you watch any documentaries about how that's done, and you know, it leaves an impression on you. There's been a recent movie has come out about that, and it looks like a lot, it's changing a lot of minds. Well, thank God for that. Hopefully they'll turn to God. They'll turn to God, the giver of life, but they'll also see that the science is wicked. The science of it. You know, in the medical field, they'll see that that is all wicked. So let me finish up here. Return, O Israel, to the Lord your God. This is the climactic chapter, and I have just a couple minutes here. Return, O Israel, to the Lord your God, for you have stumbled because of your iniquity. Iniquity makes us trip. We just trip, fall into it. Take words with you and return to the Lord. What words? Say to him, take away our iniquity. Lord, take away the iniquity of this land. Take words and return to the Lord. And receive us graciously, that we may present the fruit of our lips. Assyria will not save us. Washington will not save us. We will not ride on horses, nor will we say again, our God, to the work of our hands. You know, the horse can't save you. That's what the psalmist said, you know. And it says that for you, the orphan, in you, the orphan finds mercy. I will heal their apostasy. Thank you, Lord. I will love them freely, for my anger has turned away from them. I will be like dew in Israel. I will blossom like lilies. And he will take root like the cedars of Lebanon. His shoots will sprout, and beauty will be like the olive tree, and the fragrance like cedars of Lebanon. These are promises to Ephraim. These are promises to Israel. Some of this we're seeing to come to pass. And I don't think they're in their fullness yet, but they are coming to pass. Sometimes the word of the Lord comes suddenly. Suddenly it comes upon us. Healing can come upon us suddenly. That's nice when that happens. Sometimes it's the natural work, the way God created things. Those who live in the shadow, in his shadow, the shadow of Ephraim, those who live in his shadow will again raise grain, and they will blossom like vines. His renown will be like the wine of Lebanon. Oh, Ephraim, what more have I to do with idols? He doesn't. Who can compare to the Lord your God? An idol, really? It is I who answer and look after you. Absolutely. I am like a luxuriant cypress. From me comes your fruit. We stay connected with Jesus. We stay connected with God. And we bear fruit for the kingdom of God. Whoever is wise. Now, if you count yourself in that, listen up. Let him understand these things. Whoever is discerning, let him know them, for the ways of the Lord are right. They're right. And the righteous will walk in them, but the transgressor will stumble in them. Stumble. But the ways of the Lord are right.